Hey, yo. Wait, let's start that over. Hey, yo, what's up, guys? And welcome back to the... No, ew. Ah. Ugh. Hey, what's up, guys? And welcome to the Syfe. I am your host, Sin, or Jazz, because I'm a jazzy motherfucker. The Syfe stands for the culture you protect here. And on this show, we talk about everything from love, sex, relationships, to racism, colorism, social injustice, and politics. I mean, we talk about everything, all right? We talk about everything. And this is the first episode of the quarantine edition of the show, all right? We're going to have a good low 6 episodes for you, spread out over the 14 days. And I know your ass is home, social distancing. You ain't got shit to do. You ain't got shit to do, all right? You by yourself most likely. You ain't got nothing to do. So why don't you just take a second, listen to me. Let's be friends, all right? Let's get it. Let's do it. All right, so let's get right into it. So what can you guys expect from me over the next couple of episodes for the quarantine edition? Well, listen, let me tell you something. I overthink like a motherfucker. Let's start with that. I'm a Capricorn, and any of the Caps out there, you can understand we overthink like hell. And this can be a good or a bad thing, because one, can't nobody fuck with us. Can nobody fool a Cap? You know, there's very few Capricorns out there. You can't play a Cap. You can't. So... But that being said, though, sometimes we feel like people trying to play us and they're really not trying to play us. Capricorns, calm down. But the point is, the first couple of days of quarantine, I feel like for everybody, was just beautiful. It was glorious. You know what I mean? Like, you feeling different. You feeling free. You don't got to wake up. You don't need no alarm. You masturbating different. You know what I mean? You're not rushing it. You know what I mean? Guys, jacking. I don't know what you got. I don't know what that entails for you guys, but girls, you know, y'all probably, you're using your hands different, you know, and you eating different, and you feeling like, you know, I could do whatever I want. Like, I'm Buzz Lightyear, okay? Shoot for the stars. I could just do whatever. But day 3 of quarantine is just like, oh, damn. Like, I can't come back from quarantine being the same bitch that I was when I left. Okay, that's 14 days. Do you know what can happen over the course of 14 days? You could come back a whole new person. You could lose weight and lose a whole person. You could gain weight and gain a whole person, okay? But I'm trying to gain some knowledge, right? I want y'all to gain some knowledge, too. So instead of you overthinking, I'm gonna do the overthinking for you. And I'm expose myself a little bit too, because the topic of today, all right, today we're going to talk about exposing fuck boys. I'm going to say it again. Exposing fuck boys. Exposing the fuck boys. That's what we're going to talk about today. And so when I say exposing the fuck boys, I don't got a whole list of fuck boys. Y'all really crazy if you thought that I went through all that work, all that trouble. Maybe if you talked to me in Facebook days, I might have had that for you. But for now, I ain't got that. All right. What I do have, we're going to talk about a couple of things. We're going to talk about what is a fuck boy for the first part. Right. How to identify a fuckboy. And that means also how to identify if you're a fuckboy too. All right. Are you, maybe you're one and you don't know. Most likely you know though. And you just don't want to admit it to your dickhead. And then 3, how to avoid the fuckboys. Right. And then at the end of this all, you know, if I'm feeling good, if I'm feeling real cute, I might talk about how I recovered from my fuckboy syndrome. But for now, we just gonna get into the first part. All right, so what is a fuckboy? What is a fuckboy? First of all, a lot of people spell it different, right? Like, we know the F-U-C-K part. That's that. But the B-O-Y, that's usually for dudes. And the B-O-I is usually for, you know, well, I don't know about y'all, but it's usually for women. You know, LGBT community out there. LGBTQ, excuse me. There's a lot of letters in that. I be forgetting sometimes. But, you know, I am on the masculine women's side, right? People would call me a stud. So I would get the B-O-I spelling. I don't think that matters right now. The point is, I Googled fuckboy. I said, what is a fuckboy? Google told me it's a weak or contemptible man. A man who has many casual sexual partners. And I'm like, oh, you know what? That's pretty fucking impressive. I did not think that Google was going to say no shit like that. But then I went to dictionary.com. I didn't go on Urban Dictionary. I went to dictionary.com. That's right. Fuck it. First of all, can we talk about how the internet is evolving? I didn't even have to go on urbandictionary.com. There's so many fuckboys in the world that white people have adopted this, like, word, this slang, and it's, like, universal now. I thought this was only, like, an ethnic thing. But white people saying fuckboy, too, now, because it's on dictionary.com. I know that's ran by, you can picture that being ran by a Sarah type, right? Like a Sarah or a Susan, dictionary.com. Well, apparently Sarah has run into a damn fuckboy, and she described it as, a fuckboy is that. Emphasis on that, it was bolded, is that guy, the one who doesn't respect women but relies on them heavily. He's distant, doesn't care about other people's time, won't commit, he's self-absorbed, does stupid things, and fucks with others' emotions. Goddamn, Sarah, somebody hurt you. A fuckboy hurt you. But I concur. All of that sound about right. Now, listen, I'm not trying to come out nobody neck. All right, once upon a time, I identified as a fuckboy. And I mean, I was a proud one too. I don't give a fuck. I was a proud fuckboy, all right? Some would say I even look like a fuckboy right out the gate. So what would I say a fuckboy is? You know, in short, I feel like it's definitely someone who knows what they have. And when I say know what they have, I mean, like, you know the charm. You know, have you ever known your effect that you have on someone? You know, even if you're not a fuckboy, let's just think about, like, you know, girls. You know when someone's attracted to you, right? You can tell. They start moving different. They act different around you. You know what I mean? So people who are hyper aware of that, you know, they are aware of their charm and they use it to their advantage, I would say. There's definitely a form of manipulation in there for a fuckboy. And I feel like, you know, more often than not, yeah, they're probably out here fucking everything that moves, that suits them. Probably got like a good 3 missed calls waiting right now on their phone. Definitely got some DMs unanswered. Right, these are the type of people that do polls on Instagram on purpose. You know what I mean? Like the dumbass polls, like, you trying to text or call? Them niggas, you know, the ones that want to do the ask me a question niggas on Instagram, you know what I mean? Them, the fuckboys, you know. And if this sounds like something that you do, you might be a fuckboy, and that's okay, just accept it. And, you know, then we can move on, right? So the thing is, I'm talking about all this, right? But how do you identify a fuckboy? You know, how would I see one coming, Jazz? How would I know that a fuckboy is coming towards me? How would I know? And mind you, this goes, like I said, for any gender. It doesn't matter. You know, I said masculine women, for the most part, are usually the fuckboys. It's feminine women that are fuckboys too, all right? Feminine women are fuckboys too. Let's not get that, you know, fucked up. I'm sorry, I take that back. I didn't say that in the beginning. But feminine women, period. Some of y'all ain't shit. Some of y'all ain't shit. And you know what? That's all right. We love you anyway. We forgive you. But listen, I'm going to talk about how to identify a fuckboy. And it's going to get a little deep. You might hear my paper moving. I had to write notes on this shit. Right? So I would say the easiest thing, usually recognizing manipulative tendencies. And when I say manipulative tendencies, like, you know, if they're upset with you. Damn, let me try and give an example. All right, I'm gonna tell a little story. All right. So let's say, you know, you see a missed calls from your fuckboy. You didn't answer the phone, right? You ain't answer the phone. When you finally do call them back, they hit you with the, oh damn, like, so I see you don't got time for nobody, huh? Like, you ain't got time for nobody. You probably just talking to your other people. You talking to your other hoes. I understand. I'm not important to you. And you on the other end of the phone like, nah,
Oh my God, no, that's not what it is. I was busy. No. And they just like, nah. I know you got other people. Fuck out of here. Just tell me the truth. And they saying it in a playful way, like, haha, tell me the truth. Come on, I know you got other people. And you like, no, I only talk to you. Boom. They like, oh, word, you only talk to me. Yeah, shit like that. So y'all know how the rest of the conversation go. I'm not going to keep talking to myself, but y'all get what I mean. Literally manipulative as fuck. Got you to admit you don't talk to nobody else but them. Right? Even if that's a lie or, you know, the truth. Now they know that your, like, energy is focused on them in some sort of way. So they know they got some sort of hold on you. They know that you don't want them mad at, you know, you don't want them mad at you. That's already something right there. So they know they got a hold on you in some way, shape, or form. Manipulative. And if you really want to get technical about the shit, most of these fuckboys can either slang some dick or they can eat some pussy. If you're gay, they can slang some strap. They can still eat some pussy. Most of these fuckboys know how to fuck. And that's what fucks everything up. Because, you know, it would be easy not to fuck with the fuck boy if the fuck boy couldn't fuck. It's like a nursery rhyme. It would be easy not to fuck with the fuck boy if the fuck boy couldn't fuck. But the fuck boy could fuck. So if the fuck boy can't fuck, then you gonna fuck with the fuck boy. And that's on period. That's on period dot. And you know what's so great? They know you're going to fuck with them. They know you're going to fuck. Why you think a fuckboy trying to get you to fuck them so quick? I mean, yeah, it's because they want to smash. Don't get me wrong. They definitely want to smash. But that's not all. All right? They want you to be stuck on them. Even though they have their own attachment, you know, issues. They don't. Most of the time, a fuckboy don't want to be attached. You're going to find that too. Don't want to be attached. But it's always going to be something about them that, like, just draws you towards them. You're not even going to be able to explain it sometimes. You know, it's almost like they have that natural charm. And it's just like, fuck. I feel like that's why they call fuckboy. Because a fuckboy make you go, fuck. But I'm saying, they also have a thing where they can manipulate you into being attached to them. I'm going to explain something to you guys real quick. We're going to educate the audience real quick. We're going to educate the fam. Have you ever heard of the Dennis system? Now, I don't know if any of you nerds out there watch The Big Bang Theory, and that's okay if you don't. But the Dennis system was, you know, a thing that was explained on The Big Bang Theory, and I'm going to break it down right now. D stands for demonstrating value. All right? So the first thing that a fuckboy going to want to do, they're going to have to demonstrate some sort of value. You know what I mean? And what I mean by that, this can be done like a number of ways. But, you know, it comes from someone showing you that they can give you something that you may not currently have. So it can be something small like laughter, humor, something a bit bigger like help at a time in your life when you need it the most. You know, this can kind of be coupled with the hero syndrome. For example, maybe you need help in your career, whether it's motivational purposes or ideas, and they provide these things, thus showing you that they have something to offer and bring to the table. Now, granted, that's a little bit of an extensive, you know, example, but still, it makes sense. Let's say you're going through a sad time in your life right now, and you meet someone that's not only charming, but they bring you happiness. They're bringing you spontaneity. They're bringing you adventure. They are showing their value, right? Just like that. You don't even realize what the fuck going on. All right, so E, right? We spelling out Dennis, by the way, for the people that didn't get that by now. E, engaging physically. I just said that most of the fuckboys know how to fuck, right? So this is physical attachment, you know. It doesn't always necessarily mean sex, though. That's what's so crazy. It doesn't necessarily mean that the physical attachment comes from sex. But for most people, it does. You know what I mean? But it also can mean engaging in some sort of intimate act with the person. And specifically when it comes to women, you know, we're already emotional beings as is. So it can be anything from, you know, introducing their family to you. If they have a child, maybe they'll have you meet them or vice versa. Whatever may be dear to you, once they show that they care about it as much as you do intimately, they've got you through a chemical release of oxytocin, which doesn't just release sexually. This also will make you feel subconsciously that you need to justify why this person needs to stay in your life, essentially making you stay longer. Okay, this engagement can also be financial. Somebody that's giving you money. Now, I know y'all probably saying like, yo, son, Josh, it's really not that deep. But my nigga, sometimes it is. All right, we're adults. Okay, shit like this happens all the time. When somebody shows you something that you have not had previously, some sort of intimacy that you have been lacking, that maybe you didn't even know you were lacking, and they give that shit to you, automatically in your head, no matter what red sign, what red flags you seeing, you're already justifying why they need to stay in your life. Like, you could see that they have a bad temper, but if you also in the same, you know, instance see like, oh yeah, they may have a bad temper, but they're never like that around me. And, you know, I can tell they just need some compassion in their life. You know what I mean? And this is why they need to be with me, because I can make them a better person. Boom. Like, you know what? They already done got you, like, physically engaging with you. Like, there you go. Okay, so we did DE. We're on to the first N, nurturing dependence. All right, so nurturing dependence move a little bit like this, right? So let's say, for example, I know for millennials, we really don't like to say that we can become dependent on someone, and we don't like to be dependent on someone in general. Personally, I don't really like feeling like I need someone in my life. You know, that makes me feel weak. It makes me feel powerless. And I don't really fuck with it. Like, it's something that I've always been afraid of. But my thing is, what if you don't realize when you're becoming dependent on someone? Like, genuinely, what if you don't even see that shit coming? Like, let's give like a small example. So, let's say every day after work, you know, I call my shorty every single day. I'm the fuck boy in this instance. Let's say I call you every day after work to vent about work, you know, relieve some stress. You don't care that I'm calling you every day after work. You know what I mean? Because in your head, all you're thinking is, well, I'm just here to help. You know, I mean, she needs me. She must need me because she's calling me every day after work. She could call anybody she wanted to call, but she decided to call me. And vice versa. You know what I mean? What if you call me every day after work? And so now I'm your stress reliever. So you're subconsciously dependent on me calling you or on you calling me. And you don't even know it. And you don't even know. You know how fucked that is? You know how fucked that is? Or get this. The person can nurture dependence through isolation. Now, this is the crazy shit. This is the shit that we always see in, like, Lifetime movies, where the person starts to tell you, like, yo, don't nobody got your back like I got your back. You know, like, I see the snakes in your life. I see the fakes. I see the phonies in your life, but I'm not them. You feel me? Like, you should really stop fucking with all these fakes and all these phonies in your life, because they don't got your back like I got your back. Now, granted, not everybody's not going to say it like that. You know, some people are going to speak a little bit with less slang, but this is some real shit. We talking about the real shit in life. So we gonna speak like normal people speak. And I know a lot of dudes say this to women. You know, they hit you with the, you know, baby, I care about you so much. Bae, I care about you so much. I fuck with you so much. And I just feel like I fuck with you so much that I've noticed that the people around you don't fuck with you the way I fuck with you. So at first, you know, this is something that doesn't really affect you, right? Until you start being around your friends, and then one little thing happened, and that seed that they already planted in your mind to tell you that people don't have your back like they have your back is now literally growing. Like, you could have one small disagreement with your friend, and you like, damn, you know what? Man, fuck boy told me, don't nobody fuck with me the way he fuck with me or the way she fuck with me. I knew this was gonna happen. You were fake, you were phony. Now they got you cutting off friends and family that you would have never cut off had they not said some wild shit like that to you. Like, it just think that the smallest things, You feel me? It's just, you know, just something to think about. All right, so we get on to the second N, neglect emotionally. Now, this is the biggest fuckboy shit possible. Neglect someone emotionally. So while you two have gained some sort of consistency in your communication and your interactions, you know, together, they'll begin to slowly limit them, causing them to disappear either physically or emotionally. And, you know, you were used to those daily calls and those texts, and now they no longer happen as often. The reasoning behind this depends heavily on the person. They could say anything from they're busy or they're going through something or they're working on themselves or work is getting intense type shit. So, I've personally used this before. You know, I've had someone, not now, I'm taking, but in the past, I would start talking to somebody. And, once I got to the point where we were talking every day and they were calling me every day, I didn't really like that too much. Cause I'm like, oh, you kind of too close. But then also it's kind of like a subconscious thing where it's just like, well, are you going to come after me if I try to dip? That's what's so, are you going to come after me if I try to dip? So, you know, slowly moving my contact from them, you know what I mean? I'm not hitting you up as much anymore, but you see me on social media, you see me out here doing my thing, and I used to be able to do both, and now all of a sudden I can't balance my life and you. Yeah, nah, I'm neglecting you emotionally. Boom. Like, nah, I was fucking with you, and I'm still fucking with you, just not the way I was. So, yeah. So let's go on to the I. Right? Inspire hope. Inspire hope. So now I've neglected you emotionally. And now at this point, you probably think, you know, I don't give a fuck about you. You probably like, damn, you know, he or she doesn't even care. That's fucked up. And as soon as I feel like I might be losing you, as soon as I feel like maybe you might be getting over me, I'm calling you. I'm texting you again. I'm using the pet names I was using before. You know what I mean? I'm saying the shit that I wasn't. I'm all of a sudden, it's like it's replaying back like a fucking movie. Like it's like we back to normal. Like, and this could happen for like a night, a day, a week. Just inspiring hope that, you know what, we fell off for a little bit, but I knew that shit wasn't gonna last. You know, I knew they was gonna come right back. Bah, bah, bah. Everybody say they a fuckboy. They not no fuckboy to me. They came back. Look, boom. Mm-mm. No. They just got you hooked. They deadass got you hooked. Which brings me to the last letter, S. They separate entirely. That's pretty much self-explanatory. When a person disappears entirely, it's not a gap. It's not, you know, them slowly moving away and they still talk to you here and there. They separate entirely. Some people, like, just straight block people. And some people just kind of fall off the face of the earth. And it's funny, but it's not funny. It's actually pretty fucked up. And then to keep you going, they will start the system all over again. And, yeah. By that time, you're already kind of caught in the loop and you didn't even know you were caught in the loop. Shit's crazy. All right. Well, listen, this conversation getting real deep and I'm a little bit thirsty. So I'm going to take a quick break. I'm going to go drink some tea because I'm a cultured bitch. And we're going to come back. So I got something to drink. I ain't getting nothing to eat though, so we probably gonna take another break so I can eat something. So listen, we're gonna talk about how to avoid a fuckboy. I feel like this ain't gonna be a long conversation. This part ain't gonna be long. how to avoid a fuckboy. Yeah, recognize them red flags. You know when you see them red flags in the beginning? Yeah, recognize them and then run away. Run away. Nah, dead ass. Like, run away. So, if automatically you see too many people on her line on social media, run away. He or she. If automatically you see this person is always hugged up on somebody new, run away. If they have time for you 1 week but don't have time for you the next week but then have time for you the week after that, run away. If they can't stay consistent with their stories, run away. Just all the red flags that you know about already that you choose to ignore because they cute or because they fuck good, run away. Like, run away. Run away, love. All right? Run away. Wasn't that Mary J. Blige, a Ludacris song? I think it was a little bit sadder than what I'm talking about, though. That was a sad ass song. So now, to end this off, all right, we're going to talk about the last thing, is how I recovered. How I recovered from my own fuckboyish ways, man. I ain't the same person I was before. I ain't the same neck I was before. I'm a different motherfucker than I was before, all right? I'm different. So, listen, I feel like, you know, for people out there trying to recover from their fuckboy ways, either because you're trying to better yourself or because you met somebody that you feel like, you know, could be good for you and you don't want to fuck it up, I think the first thing that I had to come to terms with, and it was really hard for me, at least, it was really recognizing that my actions and the way that I interact with people around me is not normal. And what I mean by it's not normal, it's not normal to not care about fucking with somebody's heart. It's not normal to not feel anything when somebody cries in front of you because of something you did. It's not normal to be that numb. You know, you're supposed to feel emotions. You're supposed to feel some sort of remorse. And this sounds really fucked up because y'all probably like, damn, Jazz, like, you really didn't. I didn't give a fuck. A girl could cry in front of me. I mean, in full-on hysterical tears. And I literally be looking like, fuck wrong with you? Like, I didn't always react that way. I felt like I was a habitual liar. Genuinely a habitual liar where I could lie my way out of anything. Even if somebody was crying in front of me, I could, you know, lie my way out of that. And just, you know, I could damn near fucking cry with them if I needed to, just so that they wouldn't feel that I wasn't shit, even though I was. So accepting that the things that I had grown to basically live by, like, that shit not normal. Like, I had to literally accept the fact that the bullshit that I'm doing is not normal and I shouldn't feel good about it. So that took a little while for me because, you know, when something is deeply rooted in you, it was almost like second nature. And that's really it was almost like second nature. I still find myself, I was saying that fuckboys, you know, recognize that they have a charm. I recognized at an earlier age in my studly life that because I'm a people person, you know what I mean? I like talking to people and I like to communicate. I like to interact. I'm a really interpersonal type of person, feel me? Recognizing that, you know, my energy is addicting to some people because they don't often come into contact with it. And then using that energy in conjunction with the fact that I, you know, felt like I was attractive by just anybody's standards, I guess, like even like a medium form of, even if I wasn't someone's type, I could adapt my personality to become their type. So there was that too. It's really about like learning someone's behaviors and being able to adapt to whatever they want. So if somebody didn't fuck with my loud personality, I knew how to make myself chill. Like, it was some fucked shit. Like, that's literally habitual lying, where it's just like, lying became a personality in a way. And I'm not saying for long periods of time, like, I'm not a psychopath, but, you know, for a good 2-3 weeks, if I'm trying to hit, or if I'm just trying to fuck with a shorty, like, I can get you to fuck with me. And that's really what I had in my mind, where I knew what I was capable of, and I was fine with that. Like, I used it to my advantage. It was just straight like that. So yeah, accepting that my actions weren't normal, like, accepting that that shit is fucked up. That was the biggest thing for me. Then there was accepting the chain of events in my life and accepting that they were caused by me. So I feel like fuckboys often get hit with the woe is me claim, and they're like, oh my God, I don't know why my life is like this. I don't know why I can never find love. Because every once in a while, a fuckboy will be like, you know what? This is a lot of work. I kind of think I want to settle a little bit. And they're wondering, why can't I find somebody to settle with? Like, damn, this shit fucked up. But my thing is, you've already built, you know how much karma you've stacked up against yourself already? You know what I mean? Like, you know how much, and then there would be times where I would find girls that could potentially be good for me. And I literally sabotaged the entire operation so that they weren't good for me. And I made them crazy. So I kid you not, I made certain girls crazy so that when I wanted to leave, I had the excuse of saying, all right, but they're crazy. Like, I have to dip. Like, you don't see what they're doing. Like, I literally gotta go. Like, she's crazy. So that the next girl would not see the last failed relationship, not real relationship, but, like, I guess talking experience. They wouldn't see my last talking experience with somebody as something that necessarily was my fault. Like, I always had a reason why it ended. It was never really necessarily me. And for me, I did a thing where I'm like, I was brutally honest. So fuckboys can come. I lied a lot, but I was really honest. I feel like I lied about my emotions. I was a habitual liar about my emotions towards people. Like, I would tell them that, you know, I was really into them and I really wouldn't be as into them as they thought. So that's really what I lied about. But I was really honest about who I was as a person. And with me interacting with women, we really fuck with honesty. Like, above all else, we're like, yo, don't lie to me. That's what most women live on. You know, above all else, don't lie to me. So I feel like by me approaching women in the way where they were like, yo, you look like a fuckboy. I'm like, nah, I'm not saying that I'm not. I'm saying that, you know, I'm a fuckboy to people that aren't special to me. And that would be my one line. Like, I'm a fuckboy to people that don't deserve all of me as a person. And that's a fucked up reason to say to someone. But you know, when you say it in the right way, and when someone is already set on wanting to like you, they're gonna listen to whatever you have to say, even if it's bullshit. And I feel like women, this is something that we got to think about ourselves. When we like someone, no matter how smart you are, you get dumb as shit. You get dumb as shit. And so, yeah, I remember I would be honest and I would tell people, like, hey, look, this is what I've done in my past. I have cheated before. I have hurt people's feelings before. I have done this. I have. Admitting to all my mistakes and then ending the sentence with, but I don't want to be that way. I just can't find anybody to love me the way I need to be loved, or to have enough patience with me. And, you know, I wish I could find that, but I usually don't, because, you know, people be out here lying and they be snakes and stuff. So, you know, I hide my emotions under my fuckboyness. And that sounds like bullshit to us right now, but to a girl that might want to like me, like, she might not even like me yet, but she might want to, the only thing she heard was, ooh, she knows she ain't shit, but I can change her. That's what they hear, and that's what makes a fuckboy for real, the ability to know that people want to change you, and the mental, I guess, the ability to know that people want to change you, but you are so set in your ways that you know there's nothing they can do to make you change. So yeah, it was just a lot. And I had stacked up so much negative energy against myself that even when I, there came times where I didn't necessarily want to hurt nobody's feelings no more, you know, and I would maybe like somebody, I mean, really like somebody, like really fuck with them. I would end up getting hurt by them. And it felt like an ongoing cycle to me. Like, I'm like, yeah, well, I tried to change. I tried not to be a fuckboy and look what happened. So obviously this is the only way that I'm supposed to look. Like, this is it right now. Like, you know, I'm just here to have fun. I'm here for a good time, not a long time. And that's just what I'm going to have to fuck with. But it's like, you already stacked up that energy against you. So how can you expect so much positive things towards you when you've done nothing to bring positivity to your life? Like, you just made a girl cry last week and you're expecting this girl to take you seriously this week because you told her you took her seriously. And it was definitely a lot of me not being able to take what I was giving out. So there was that. So accepting the chain of events in my life was caused by me. That shit hurt. I think I cried over that. I ain't gonna hold you. And then the last thing really was actively wanting to change. Now for me, I genuinely met someone that made me want to change. And I felt like previously in past relationships, I always said that those girls made me want to change. The only problem was I never really did. So, I feel like I've realized something about myself. I am very much so a chameleon. I'm going to adapt to whatever I have to adapt to survive. And it just is what it is. Like, a chameleon is one of the most amazing animals. Well, I should say, what is that, a reptile? Creature. Let's go with creature because I don't know. This ain't Animal Planet. But a chameleon is fucking dope. You know, if you don't know what a chameleon is, they literally are able to basically shade themselves to look like whatever is surrounding them. And they do this for survival, to stay away from predators and everything like that. So I, at a very young age, became a chameleon in order to survive and to thrive in the world. Emotionally, this is where I use it the most. You know, I've always been book smart and all that, street smart. That I don't really need it there. But, you know, emotionally, that's the most tender part of you. That's when you can really get fucked. Even the thuggiest of thugs can get their heart broken. So actively wanting to change. I would meet girls and I would say I want to change. Right, I'm like, yo, nah, this shorty different. This girl is different. Like, I'm gonna change for her. This is gonna be it. But I gave too much responsibility to them. It was almost as if I felt like they should make me change. Yeah. Like, it's your responsibility to make me a better person. That's where I was. And when I say that, it's just like, if you treat me good, I'ma treat you good. If you do your job right, I'm not going to cheat. That's literally what I used to tell. So I had a girl ask me, like, how can I get you not to cheat on me? If you just if you just admitted that you cheat on almost everyone you date, and I like you right now, how can I get you to fuck with me without any other compromising factor in here that's going to make you go out and find something else? And I think I literally said to her, like, yo, just treat me right. I'm going to treat you right. You know, I'm going to give you what you give me. So putting the responsibility on her. So now giving her the pressure of being the perfect girl, you know, being the perfect person for me, as if she wasn't a prize to be won as well, as if I'm just the ultimate end game. Like, oh, you don't want your heart broken? Better treat me right. That's literally where I was. And to get to that point and not realize that that's fucked up, sad time, man. Sad time in life. I dated somebody for years and I felt like I was different. I felt like I was changed and shit. Y'all gonna hear the beeping in the back. Y'all be all right. I felt like I was different. I felt like I was changed. I dated her for a couple of years and it didn't occur to me that I never changed. I just slowed down my behavior. Because women are sneaky. That's one thing. Women are sneaky. So if there's anybody that's straight looking, listening to this, and you by curious and you thinking that dating a woman gonna make your life easier, it's probably gonna be a little bit more of a hell challenge than it is with guys. So you might as well stay over there, because women are sneaky as fuck. So I told you I had already been a liar in the back, way back. I was already like a habitual liar. Like, I was good. I could adapt to whatever I needed, right? So, but then also I made women feel like if they treated me right, I would treat them better. So I put it on them. Like, you know, as long as you do what you gotta do, I got you. I cheated on her. I cheated on her. And then when I got caught, you know, she's like, her first question is why? I'm like, well, this is what you weren't doing. So this is what happened. That this is because you weren't doing X, Y, Z, A, B, C happened. So, yeah, I'm sorry, but you should say sorry too. You know how fucking crazy you gotta be to make somebody apologize to you for cheating? You know how crazy that is to make someone apologize to you for you cheating on them? Like, again, not taking responsibility for any of my actions, and not accepting the chain of events in my life were caused by me. So now here I am trying to gain someone's trust back. I didn't even have to do all of that had I just stayed true to the relationship. So I think that after that relationship, I went through a period of me realizing that I'm just going to, this is my life. Like, I'm just not meant for love. I don't know how to treat nobody right. You know, like, my logic is fucked. I feel like I understand people so much to the point where nobody understands me. And you know what? To be honest with you, fuck it. Like, it's not even that deep. And then, you know, I met somebody who emulated every single moral that I have been using my entire fuckboy career. And that shit was scary as fuck. Like, you know, looking in a mirror is scary as hell, especially because, you know, I always knew I was charming, but I never really encountered anybody that was just as charming as me. Like, you always gonna meet your match. That's one thing, fuck boys out there. You always gonna meet your match. Now, I don't know when you gonna meet them, but you gonna meet them eventually. So you gotta chill, cause when they come up to you, that shit gonna mind fuck the fuck out you, feel me? So literally, I met someone that intellectually matched everything, artistically, oh my god, emotionally, spiritually, all of that. But she a fuck boy too. You know, she a fuckboy too. And I feel like I never felt what these women felt when they felt like they wanted to change me. And wanting to change someone comes from seeing someone's potential. That is very fucking dangerous, because you can get fucking hurt at the end of that. But thankfully, I didn't get hurt. But it was looking at someone who had very similar traits to me made me realize a lot about myself and a lot about the things that I wanted to change and a lot of things that I wish that they would change. Because I like, yo, let me love you. But yeah, so I think in short, recognizing my actions as not being the norm, accepting the chain of events in my life, they were caused by me, and actively wanting to change. So, do I still have, like, fuckboy tendencies sometimes? But am I a fuckboy? No. So, I hope y'all enjoyed quarantine edition of the Syfe day one. All right? Episode one. And we're going to come back to you with another one. All right? We're going to come back because we back and we better and we better and we back. All right? Thanks for tuning in. Follow me on Instagram at the Syfe Podcast. Check out my YouTube channel with my shorty, you feel me? Like, check us out, Jazz and Ashley TV, alright? You know what I mean? Follow, you know, add me on Snapchat, see what's up, King_Sin, let's do all of it, alright? And if you guys have any suggestions on what you want to hear, let me know. But for now, peace out, fam.